All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us. Lord, we just ask that you would help us to be faithful to you. Lord, that we might bring glory and honor to you in all that we say or do. Lord, forgive us where we fail you, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Again, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, begin in verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13 is where we'll be reading this morning. Before we start there, I want to blessed by the choices of the songs that the young men gave us this morning. It was real encouragement, many songs of praise and gratitude, and then also some that just a real blessing how they, the songs that they appreciated, that it tells you a lot about a person or about what they're thinking about by what the songs that they really appreciate. And really, it's just a real blessing to hear some of the selections and some of the thoughts that were dear to the young people. I remember whenever I was with the churches that I was growing up with, shortly after I began seeking the Lord, I was just looking through the hymn books, and all of the songs were just giddy and fun, and how good heaven was going to be, and how just the example of I'm a Millionaire, just about just Jesus died and now I'm going to heaven and everything's wonderful. And I was just looking through the hymn book to try to find just, you know, something that really had some meaning to it. And Chad brought out the song Must Jesus Bear His Cross Alone. It's the only one I could find in the particular hymn book we were looking at. And called it out and sang it, but it almost killed the whole atmosphere of the meeting. Must Jesus Bear His Cross Alone? Something that had some depth to it and seriousness to it, and it's the cross that Jesus carried and the message that He gives to us to take up our cross and follow Him. And that's probably one of the most misunderstood things in society and religion, that the cross that Jesus bore and that He asked us to bear, that cross divides the difference between religion and following Jesus. And even among people who profess to know about Christianity, they know all about the commandments of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and the Bible, and to know nothing of the cross. And I remember one time I was asked to teach for a week of meetings at the Mennonite Church, and I taught about the cross. And at the end of the week, one of the bishops, one of the oldest men there, he just said, you know, keeping the church regulations is what the cross means. And I said, that is not it. It's just missed the whole week of teaching, just completely. It was summed up to him in having to keep the church rules. And I've heard people say that the teachings of Jesus are the cross. And just several different things of what people think the cross is, simply because they do not know what the cross is. And the cross is what comes to you from following the Lord. Whether it's keeping the teachings, whether it's a result of. I mean, the things and the teachings of Jesus and being a part of the body of Christ is not a cross. If it's a cross to you, there's something terribly wrong. It's a blessing. That's why I appreciated many of the boys talking about the blessings of grateful of the things that they have. And those are not crosses. Those are the blessings that help us bear those crosses. Those are the things that bring goodness to the earth, goodness to the world, not a burden. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What the cross, what the world lays on us is the cross. What the world does to us to kill us, as it seems, is what the cross does. But the teachings of Jesus and the church, and they're the blessings that come along with those things. And I was just blessed, encouraged this morning. You young people, if you look out into the world, and there are some terrible things that are happening right all around us. People who live day to day, scared to death, day to day, not knowing whether they're going to get beat up or molested, and it's just common life to them that to wake up fearful, full of anger, bitterness, hatefulness, just full of that stuff, and they think that's what life is. And the blessings that you all have been given, the treasures that you have been given and rescued from, not having to know and experience those things. And it's just, I'm glad that to see the songs that we're thankful for and grateful for those things. And I just don't want you to forget it. I mean, when you start looking down your nose at somebody that's not where you are, just remember where you could have been. Just a few simple choices of someone else made that had nothing to do with you and put you in a different place or a different position or a different station in life that is just completely the opposite of what you've had, and you could have been there. And I just want to, again, we forget this, must Jesus bear his cross alone? It's just really stuck out to me. You know, like Chad told the story, that there was a man had a dream, and he was carrying his cross, and it was so heavy, so hard to bear. And he just wanted to give up, and someone suggested, just cut a little piece off, and it'll be lighter. So he did. And it just, and then that part got heavy. And so he cut that off. And then after a while, that part got heavy. And so he kept cutting it off, just shortening it a little bit. Still thinking that he was going and doing what he was supposed to be doing. And then he came to the mighty river that led to eternity. And the man there, he didn't know what to do, how to get across. And so the man said, well, just lay down your cross. It'll reach to the other side. It'll just reach. And well, he laid his down, and it fell right in the river because it was way too short, way too little. And He couldn't make it to the other side. And then he woke up. That's the story of that. It's so easy for us to try to make our lives so much easier and so much more comfortable instead of just bearing our cross the way God has given it. We want to complain about our lot. And I'm the first to tell you that I get weary and it gets hard. Thankful for the encouragement and that little and that song and that little story. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone bring a lamp and put it under a blanket or a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You are the light of the world. Man talked to this week, said the question he's heard people talk about. You know, if there's so much, if God is so good, why does He allow so much suffering in the world? If God is so good, why are things so bad? And I was blessed with the response that he had said. He said, just the thought that that's what you're here for. That's as far as he went with that. But as I thought about it, I thought, you are the light of the world. You know, whenever we look out into the world and see it's evil, we see it's wrong, we see it's bad, we see the hurt and we see the pain. One of the things that most convinces me that there is a God, one of the things that most are so persuasive to me that there is a God and there is an eternity is because there's evil in the world. You think, well, that's silly. What, how does that fit with God being good? And I think there's a God because there's evil. I see the power and the evidence of evil. But I have also been able to see that just as bad as the world can be, there is good in the world too. And it's just as evil, and just as bad a choice as someone can make to the evil, a person can make the same choice to the good. And because there's evil in the world, and Jesus has come into the world as light, and has now commissioned us to be the light of the world, we can be that light. And I've seen it in people. I've seen people choose good over the evil. And it's amazing that in all the darkness in all the world, there's a little shine, a little candle burning somewhere, a little light burning somewhere. And that is the commission that Jesus has given us, You are the light of the world. Yeah, the world's evil. Yeah, there's bad in it. Yeah, it's hard to find people that care. But that doesn't mean you're not supposed to be the light. You are the evidence that there is a God in heaven. You are the evidence that a Christ came and lived on this earth. Because you can carry that light that He carried. You can be that light that He was. And that's our responsibility, to be that. You are the light of the world. You know, when God created man, He said it was good. But man rebelled against God and chose not to listen to Him. And evil came into the world. That's why there's evil in the world. It's not because God doesn't have power just to abolish it. He could. But with that, He would abolish everyone here. But He saw fit to seek out those who would be redeemed, who would turn from that evil and walk in His light. You know, we can try to figure out a formula. We can try to be religious. We can do all the right things and say all the right things and still not walk in the light. And I think there's a whole world of people that we might not even understand that are walking in that light that might not do everything we think they ought to be doing. But walk in the light. There were several references in the songs the boys brought out. Well, I'll just turn to James chapter 1. It says, if anyone thinks himself to be a religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And it says, this gives a simple statement here in verse 27. It says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. How many references? Just those that are overlooked. Those that are passed by. Those that are left alone. Those that are going through a distress. That's where your pure religion is. You know, if someone's forsaken, it's usually because the whole world's forsaken them. Nobody wants to touch them. I told this man that I was talking to this week, you know, people don't want to be like Jesus because they have to get their hands dirty sometimes to do it. Most religious people are too religious to get themselves soiled or to get themselves dirty by reaching out and helping someone, reaching out and being there for someone, and they do not understand that. We have a responsibility as the light of this world to plunge right into the darkness. That's where the needy is. That's where the hurting people are. But it's dirty in there. It's dark in there. Not very nice in there. But that's what Jesus did when He came into this world. He came into this dirty, dark world and lived his life right in the middle of it. We think we're too good for that. But that's what it meant for him to be the light of the world. Is to go where nobody wanted to go. To go find people that nobody wanted to find. And to be a light right there. God has sent us into this world, at this time in this world, to be the light right where you are. It's not about keeping all the rules and all the regulations. It's about being a light, walking in the light, right where you are. It's wonderful that we're thankful that we're not in those bad places, that God saved us from those things. There's churches all over the world that are thankful and grateful, and people all over the world that are grateful that they're not like those sinners. We're so glad we're not like those. I think there's people all over the world that their tongues are not bridled. You know, we think an unbridled tongue is slipping up or saying something wrong once in a while, but I think an unbridled tongue is talking off, spouting all kind of religious stuff, and there's no light in it, because we really don't know what we're talking about. An unbridled tongue talks about the cross, and it has no clue of what the tongue or what the cross is all about. An unbridled tongue talks about the light in a dark world and know nothing about being a light in a dark world. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. How clearer of a definition do you need? We're looking for pure and undefiled. That's what most religious people are wanting to be, pure and undefiled. Isn't that the goal for holy people? Pure and undefiled. Not soiled. Not tainted. Pure and holy. Pure and undefiled in the sight of our God and Father is this, to go out and get your hands dirty. To go out and not be afraid. To rub elbows with the unclean and the defiled, the hopeless, the helpless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are God's goodness in a dirty world. You are God's light in a dark world. You are what God has sent as His representative to be the idea that there is a good God in control of everything. You are the salt that preserves this dirty, filthy world. God could clean it up. God could stop all suffering on this earth. But suffering comes from man and Satan. And God is here just to show a light out of that so that we can truly be redeemed from it. So that we can truly be redeemed. May the Lord add His blessings.
Jerusalem, the Happy the man. that